Grace to you and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In today's gospel lesson, we learn that one day, probably the day after Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, although it could have been the day after that, Jesus was standing in the temple. And while he was there, he was watching all of the commotion, all of the chaos that was going on. And I have to tell you, there was a reason for all of this. The Passover was right there. That particular Friday, they were all going to celebrate the Passover meal. Of course, this meant now that Jews from all around the world were coming to Jerusalem, and they were going to the temple to offer the mandatory sacrifice that God had commanded to do before the meal. So there's a ton of people there. But what he really notices is that there's these money changers. And, you know, I think sometimes we might think that they just might have been this one line. No. You know, there's probably 100, maybe even 1,000 or more tables of money changers. And what these guys were doing, they would take good old-fashioned hard cash and they would exchange them for this coin that they made up. And that coin was the only coin that you could give to pay the temple tax. And I got to tell you at this point that the exchange rate on that certainly wasn't in favor of the people. It was really in favor of the money changers. So you got that going on. And then, of course, all over the place as well, you got these people and there are these negotiations going on and there are arguments going on between buyers and sellers of cattle or sheep, and maybe even the doves as well, the birds for the poor, okay? In order that, you know, the people could buy what was necessary to give as the sacrifice, okay? You know, the temple took up about a third of the size of Jerusalem because this was Herod the Great's temple, okay? Chances are that the whole outer court of that temple was filled with all of these money changers and the sellers, etc. And also most of the inner court as well. Jesus is standing there. More he looks, more angry he gets. And finally, he reaches a point where he blows like a volcano. In righteous anger, and now fueled with adrenaline, he goes and he starts turning over all of these money changers' tables. Not one, two, we're talking hundreds. He's also taking rope, made a whip. He's driving out the cows, the sheep. He's opening up the cages so that the birds could fly away. He's turning over more tables. He's chasing these people that are selling out of the temple. I don't know how long this went on, but it had gone on for a good amount of time. And when he was finished, that place was shambles. And you could just picture him now. And he's breathing hard as the adrenaline is starting to come down. He's still angry. And I know that it was not in a very sweet, nice, little compassionate voice that he said the following. He said it in anger, as hard and as loud as he could. How dare you? How dare you do this? How dare you take my Father's house of prayer and make it into a den of thieves? Oh, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall and seen all that. That must have been something else. I was thinking of maybe trying to do that as a demonstration up here in the sanctuary, but I didn't think that would go over too good. You know, we're pretty well aware of the fact that this event has been known and called the cleansing of the temple. And I think that most of us will say, well, we know why Jesus got angry, and we know what it means. We understand that what they did there was is that, well, they kind of lost the purpose of the temple there. And, you know, they were, you know, making all sorts of kind of money. And Jesus didn't like that. And so that's why he drove them all out. And actually, to tell you the truth, it's rather interesting. But for many, many years, most churches, and there are still even some today, it's one of the reasons why they don't have raffles or Chinese auctions or silent auctions or dancing in the church, because that is making money, and that's what was going on there, and Jesus forbid it. As a matter of fact, we were just kidding around and saying, maybe we ought to do away with coffee hour, because how dare we make our church a place like Starbucks? Although, I gotta have my coffee, so you're safe, okay? That's how we interpret it. And I am going to say that there is some truth in it, okay? There really is. But boy, that's just scratching the surface. Because you see, what this is really dealing with is worship. True, true worship. Let's go back. What in the world was going on? You know, the Passover. God had commanded that each year the people of Israel remember the Passover. And they would do it by celebrating the Passover meal. And beforehand, to go and to offer sacrifices. Now, he didn't do this because God himself needed it. No, he did it for them. Because, you see, he wanted them to recall every year his glory, his power. How, out of love and mercy, he delivered them out of the slavery of Egypt. How, with power and with love and mercy, not only did he get them to escape from the Egyptian army by parting the Red Sea, but he destroyed the Egyptian army. He wanted them to recall that even in the desert, when there they were, complaining and moaning and groaning, and I would have been the first one up moaning and groaning, believe me, you know what? He still had mercy upon them, because even though there are those times he really wanted to wipe them out, he didn't. He wanted them to recall his love and mercy have finally enabled them to go into that promised land. The Passover was to be a time in which they would hear this glorious message. They would then give glory to God. They would grow in his love and in his mercy. They would be drawn closer to him. But what had it become? That wasn't going on. It was impossible. There was no place for anybody to worship. They couldn't worship in the outer court. That was for the women and the Gentiles. It was all filled with the money changers and everything else. Couldn't even go on in the inner court where the men, the Israelites, were supposed to worship. They had all the other money changers and that going on. What had happened was it was no longer worship. It was all about cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. For the religious leaders, their God was no longer the true God, but getting that money. And really, to tell you the truth, the poor people, because they were not hearing this wondrous message of God, everything became mechanical. Most of the people didn't want to go to Jerusalem. This was a huge headache for them. It was expensive. They didn't have the money. But that was mandatory. So they had to go. They went. And they went through the motions. There was little, if any, worship that was going on. Their hearts were not in it. And on top of that, they had developed this mindset, which, of course, was bred by the religious leaders, that so help you. If you did this, you were going to be all right with God. If you did this, God was going to be pleased with you. God was going to bless you. You're a child of God. Everything's going to be all right. It was nothing more than work righteousness. Actually, They too were guilty of idolatry because they themselves were making them and their works their God. That's what got Jesus upset. That's why he went bonkers. You know, I don't know if you can relate to any of this, but boy, I sure can. I got to tell you something, you know. The devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh, it's amazing how it works. It certainly works on me. I was thinking about these religious leaders, right? In a way, I have the greatest job or calling that you could ever want. I have this glorious privilege that I don't deserve of proclaiming God's love through Christ. Of proclaiming Jesus loves us so much that he willingly went to the cross to suffer and die, to save us from sin and death. This message that Jesus is our good shepherd and that he was always with us and no one's going to take his blessings away from us. What a privilege. And yet, let me tell you, there are those days I don't want to be here. Today was one of them too, but there's reasons for that. What's wrong here, you know? Don't you find at times, too, that you don't really want to be here? It's hard, isn't it? Day like today, it's cold. Change of times, especially change of times. Sermon's going to be long and boring. It's going to be work. Eh, I don't really want to be here. I got better things to do. It's hard. And on top of it, if we do come, I know sometimes in the back of my mind, I'm saying, see, God, I'm making a special effort to do this today. So you take note of this, okay? I want you to take note of this. Or maybe we too, what we'll do is we'll say, okay, God, I'm going. I expect something, you know? Maybe bless me in a little way or you know, put this on my good side there so that, you know, you'll be happy and maybe I can get myself to heaven. So often we end up in the same realm as those people. We're doing it to get something from God. We're doing it because we have to. It's all law driven. And you know what Jesus' response is? Not a great one, that's for sure. I got to tell you, it's this event that put the spikes in Jesus' hands and feet a few days later on that cross. Because you can imagine the religious leaders, they were not a happy camper. They were not. I mean, he just destroyed their whole money-making business. He left that whole temple in shambles. And so a number of them come up to him and say, who gives you the authority to do something like this? Do some miraculous sign to show us that you have that kind of authority. And they knew he wouldn't be able to do that because only God would have that authority. He couldn't be God. Right? Right. Okay. Oh, they were mad. And he looked at them and he said, destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And they said, what? 3 days? It's taken us 46 years to build this temple, and we're still not done. And you would do it in 3 days? Do you remember the trial before the Jewish Sanhedrin? Remember the charge finally? He said, destroy the temple, and I will rebuild it with my hands in 3 days. He never said my hands, but that's how they took it. They thought that he was talking about the physical temple. But it wasn't. He was talking about his body, see. But that's what got him. But thank God that it took place. Because you see, it is this. It is this as to why we're Christians. We have a God who loves us so much that he allowed them to destroy his temple, his body. He allowed them to crucify him. He allowed all of the sin, the guilt, the punishment come upon him and suffer it and die on the cross. He allowed it. And in 3 days, he was raised from the dead. But he did it because of love for you and for me. It was the only way that you and I could ever have forgiveness and a renewed relationship with God in eternal life. Because I don't care how many good deeds we do, it's never going to be enough because we can't be perfect. And even our good deeds that we do now are never perfect because I've always got, in my mind at least, 95% of it might be out of love, but there's that 5% that's thinking, someone better notice this. God, you know, we can't do it. So God does it for us. Jesus. That's what the church is about. That's what this church is about. The place to come where we hear this message of love, of forgiveness, of peace, of renewal, of being God's children, of the hope of everlasting life. So that we can leave here hopefully refreshed to go back out into that world and fight the devil of the world and our own sinful flesh. To go out into the world and let the light of Jesus shine out through us. So yeah, they got him on it. Praise be to God that they did. Because that's why we have the church today. I'm going to close quickly. It's a little story. It was about a pastor and his family. They were driving to his mother's house. It was a long drive, and at any rate, as they were going along, his little daughter asked, "How much longer, Daddy? How much longer? Are we almost there?" And the pastor's wife, spouse, said, "Well, you know, no, not really. You know, maybe about the length of one of your dad's sermons," to which the older son said, "Oh my gosh, do we got a long way to go, you know?" Yeah. Is in worship? Yeah. You got to listen to me. Long. Worship is hard. Worship is work. Worship can be boring. Maybe what we need to do is to readjust our attitude. Stop. Think about why we should be here. Why we are here. We're here for the love of Christ, because he first loved us and gave himself as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Amen.